Wonderful to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Hope your day's going well. Coming up a little bit later this hour, we'll have the very latest developments in Hong Kong, where street protests have continued even after the pro-democracy candidates were the winners in the recent election. Also, huge problems in Iran with street demonstrations. We'll get an on-the-scene report there as well. But first, it's the U.S. Supreme Court where we turn our attention. This morning, arguments were presented in a case that's the first gun rights case to be taken up by the High Court in nearly a decade. You might recall that the Heller decision was a highly significant one for the justices nearly a decade ago. It said that the Second Amendment provides a right for personal ownership of a firearm for self-protection. But beyond that, it leaves a lot for states and municipalities to decide what degree of controls they want to put on firearms. So the case that is before the High Court today involves a New York City law about the transport of guns to gun ranges outside the city limits. With us is Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr. Greg, it's good to have you with us today. One of the things that might be a little confusing about the case is that there are other laws that sort of superseded this ordinance, weren't there?
There were. What happened, Larry, was that when the Supreme Court agreed to hear an appeal by three city residents who said their Second Amendment rights were violated, the city changed its rules, and with some help from the state changed its law as well, and then went back to the Supreme Court and said, hey, there's nothing left for you to decide here. You ought to just toss the case out as moot. And so the argument today, much of it was about not the Second Amendment, but whether there was anything left for the Supreme Court to decide.
Well, it's weird. So it's really a matter of whether there's a case here. Could the justices have decided not to even hear arguments on it after they had granted cert? Could they have turned around after the change in the laws in New York, said, okay, we're not going to hear it?
They could have, and the city actually asked for them to do that. The Supreme Court refused. They went ahead and scheduled the arguments and said, you're welcome to make those sorts of arguments during the argument itself, and we reserve the right to do whatever we decide is best. But for now, we're going to go ahead and hear the arguments. And one possibility in this argument today, one way of interpreting what happened, might have been that the court, in particular Chief Justice Roberts, was trying to get assurances from the city of New York that the old law is actually defunct and isn't going to have any current repercussions on the three residents who sued.
And that old law, so it kept legal gun owners in New York City from being able to transport their unloaded firearm to a shooting range outside the city limits. What was there any discussion as to why they had such a law?
There was discussion, and the old law also kept them from taking it to a second home outside the city. The lawyer for the city wouldn't say he made a robust defense of it, but he did say it helped the city enforce its gun laws in general. It helped the police. The idea is that. That the residents were arguing is, look, we need the right to be able to go to a shooting range, and that makes us more proficient. It lets us practice our shooting and that, you know, better to protect ourselves in our home. And what the city has said is, hey, we've got seven shooting ranges in the city. That is adequate. That's enough for you to stay proficient. You don't need these rights to go further with your weapon.
So, you know, what you heard at the Supreme Court, Greg, did you see anything in the questions asked by the justices of both sides' counsel that would delineate the conservative majority's appetite for going beyond Heller and attempting to carve out further gun rights out of the Second Amendment?
Yeah, a little bit. Again, most of the argument was on this question of mootness, but there were some glimpses, in particular from Justice Sam Alito, one of the conservatives, where he was trying to make the case that, hey, we're now talking about, whereas Heller was talking about a Second Amendment right inside the home, he said, here we're talking about a Second Amendment right outside the home. And that's really one of the big lingering issues for the court, unresolved. Lower courts had disagreed whether you have a right to carry a handgun with you outside the home. It's very likely the Supreme Court will take up that question sometime in the next few years. Justice Alito and some of the other conservative justices seem like they are inclined to say that, yes, indeed, you do have that right.
And are there any of the more recent California laws that might be ripe, Greg, for the Supreme Court to consider?
Yeah, there are a couple pending appeals that are waiting to see how this case comes out. I'm not sure the Supreme Court will, that the California laws will be the ones the Supreme Court jumps at immediately. The issue I mentioned about the right to carry outside the home is pretty squarely presented in a New Jersey case that is being held pending the New York City case. That's the one I think people are going to be looking at most closely because it could be one that clears up lower court disagreement and decides a very big question.
We're talking with Greg Stories, Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter and author of A Black and White Case, How Affirmative Action Survived Its Greatest Legal Challenge. Also with us from Duke University, professor of law and Second Amendment expert. He's the faculty co-director of Duke's Center for Firearms Law and co-author of The Positive Second Amendment. Professor Daryl Miller, we appreciate your being with us. Your thoughts about the significance of this New York City-based case?
Yeah, good morning, and thanks for having me on. So I think what Mr. Storr said is absolutely right. The court seems to be mostly interested in figuring out whether they can even decide this case. I think that Justice Sotomayor had said something like, you know, what is there to rule on when the defendants have basically thrown in the towel? And so I think there's a high likelihood that the court may actually just kick this as having no real case or controversy before it now. That said, I think it's fair to say that with the new staffing on the court, including Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kavanaugh, the conservative wing of the court has really been looking to clarify exactly what the Second Amendment is and expand its holding beyond the core holding of Heller, which held that you have a right to keep a firearm in the home for purposes of self-defense. And so even if this case does go down as being moot and sort of kicked to the curb, I think it's quite likely that there is plenty of other cases in the pipeline that the court will grant cert on.
Professor, I was also wondering about the issue of, you know, states' reciprocity on concealed carry permits, things like that. Have the justices, anything that you've seen, indicated an interest in taking up those? Because that certainly, that reciprocity is something that gun rights activists have long been seeking.
Right. Well, I think it's fair to say that the court's current opinions say nothing about reciprocity and certainly don't implicate, for example, a gun regulation in California having to be respected, or a licensing regime in California respected in another state, or vice versa. I think that's where Congress gets in, and Congress has proposed a kind of reciprocal concealed carry license, sort of nationwide licensing regime. But in terms of the Supreme Court, I think they are sort of focused more on the scope and terms of the Second Amendment, which may or may not include some kind of carry, and that's the real linchpin of current litigation, which is trying to figure out exactly how and to what extent you're allowed to carry a firearm for self-defense purposes outside the home. Some states have no regulations. Some states require a license, but as long as you're not a felon or a convicted criminal, we'll give it to you. And some states, a minority of states, have what are known as May issue, where you have to show some sort of good cause. And I think that's really the case that the gun rights activists want to litigate, about the good cause requirements for public carry.
And that would have a huge effect on California, wouldn't it? Because you've got urban counties in California where sheriffs are very reluctant to issue concealed carry permits. The bar is very high. And you've got rural counties in California where they're far easier for residents to get them there. And you know, a case like that, perhaps challenging California's, county by county leeway, there's something the court might take up.
Yeah, I think that's right. If the court directly takes up a new case, especially having to do with what kind of licensing is required, what kind of showing you have to make in order to carry, if any kind of showing, that could dramatically impact the existing set of rules that we have on how people are authorized to carry firearms. And obviously, carrying firearms both today and historically is just sort of different culturally in terms of risk in concentrated urban areas as opposed to in rural areas. And so a Second Amendment case on this issue would certainly clarify exactly what the terms of Heller were, but could have a major impact on how states currently organize their carry licensing rules.
We're talking with Duke University law professor Daryl Miller. He's an expert on the Second Amendment. He's the faculty co-director of Duke's Center for Firearms Law and co-author of the book The Positive Second Amendment. If you have questions about the U.S. Supreme Court, its interpretation of the Second Amendment, and what the court might be looking at with possible future cases to consider, we're at 866-893 KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Professor, I can't recall a case, maybe this is more common than I'm just aware of, where an amicus brief has been filed in a case with sort of neither side's position taken. I understand that's what you did in this New York City case that the justices heard this morning.
That's correct. And that's not terribly unusual. To file an amicus on behalf of neither side. I and a couple of other professors filed an amicus brief on behalf of neither side, as did some other organizations. The premise here about filing it for neither side is to explain to the court exactly what the lower courts have been doing, and to at least raise the issue about what kind of test, if they do decide to address the merits, they should apply. Right now, the two leading contenders are something like looking at the government interest and the tailoring of the regulation so that it doesn't eat into too much Second Amendment rights, or something that would be unusual, which would be what's known as a text, history, and tradition analysis, which would only look at historical regulations to see if a present-day regulation was constitutional. And part of the amicus was addressing which way the court should decide, if it decides to decide the merits, about how to even engage in a Second Amendment analysis.
Are there any potential cases that the court would be taking up dealing with background check requirements, such as California's recent requirement for ammunition purchases, things like that, or would that be seen as independent of the Second Amendment?
Right. Well, I think, you know, part of it would be independent. I don't think it's at the forefront of what either the Supreme Court or gun rights advocates are mostly litigating, or at least want to be resolved. I think most of most of the litigation has to do, again, with this public carry issue and the whether and to what extent it can be licensed. There's litigation on the type of arms that people can possess, whether they can possess AR-15s or large capacity magazines, for example. There has been litigation on things like felon in possession, but mostly those have been resolved in favor of the government regulation. There's very few cases that have said that a felon, for example, is entitled to keep and carry a weapon under the Second Amendment.
Andrew in Castaic wants to talk about concealed carry permits in Los Angeles County. Andrew, go right ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. So my question is, why is it so difficult here in California, specifically Los Angeles, for us to carry a weapon outside of the home, sort of an open carry type policy?
Yeah, it's a little bit what we were just talking about, the rural versus urban counties. And as you say, Andrew, it's virtually impossible to get a concealed carry permit in Los Angeles County. Professor, you want to speak to how that difference comes about?
Right. Well, I don't know the ins and outs of California's permitting system itself, but the way that it's articulated at a broader level is that some states that have what are known as may issue say that you have a right to have a firearm in your home, but if you are going to get a license to carry it, especially where the carrying can cause cause risk to others, you need to have some sort of greater showing. Now, there are cases, for example, one in Chicago that says, well, urban areas are also areas that tend to have more crime, and therefore the reason to carry a gun outside the home is even greater in the city. And that in some ways is in tension with the historical regulations, which tended to treat city carrying different than carrying in rural areas where hunting and other kinds of sporting events is more common. And so this is just a tension that the court at some point will have to resolve.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate very much. Good to have you with us. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for talking about this case that was argued before the U.S. Supreme Court this morning. Greg Storr, Supreme Court reporter for Bloomberg, and Daryl Miller, Duke University law professor and Second Amendment expert. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, we have a couple of big international stories to check in Hong Kong and in Iran. You'll hear those coming up in just 1 minute.